Will be in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 2 and 3. For if I make you sorry, you is he, then that maketh me glad, but the same which is made sorry by me. And I wrote this same unto you, lest when I come, I should have sorrow from them, of whom I ought to rejoice, having confidence in you all, that my joy is the joy of you all. Amen.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
It is a pleasure to be here with you again. Let's bow our heads for prayer again, please. Dear Jesus, Lord, I am not worthy to be up here to be delivering your word to these wonderful people, but you've called me to, and I thank you for that. Lord, please bless us now as we study from your word. Please anoint my lips and help me to only speak the words that you want me to speak. Thank you for loving us all so much. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to thank Anissa for reading the verses that she read. They definitely added to this sermon because they reminded us that we need to make each other joyful. That's a very important thing. Very, very important thing. Thank you, Anissa. How many of you have ever wanted to do something great for God? We all do, don't we? How many of you would like to go overseas and preach an evangelistic series and have 1,000 people baptized in one day? Oh, we'd all love to do that, wouldn't we? How many of you think you'll ever have the opportunity? James, good for you. That's positive thinking. I like it. How many of you think you'll have failed if you don't? I'm sorry. I hope you don't mind. But you know what? You will not have failed if you don't. The sermon today came to me, God put it in my mind several years ago, and it's about how we witness for God. Steps to Christ, chapter 13, page 115 says, "The children of God are called to be representatives of Christ, showing forth the goodness and mercy of the Lord," which of course we all want to do. We all want to go out and convert thousands and give lots of Bible studies and give lots of sermons and things like that, don't we? But you know what? We're not all called to do that. Some of us are called to do other things. "As Jesus has revealed to us the true character of the Father, so we are to reveal Christ to a world that does not know his tender, pitying love. As thou hast sent me into the world," said Jesus, "even so have I also sent them into the world, I in them and thou in me, that the world may know that thou hast sent me," John 17, verses 18 and 23. The Apostle Paul says to the disciples of Jesus, "Ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, known and read of all men," 2 Corinthians 3, verses 3 and 2. In every one of his children, Jesus sends a letter to the world. If you are Christ's follower, he sends in you a letter to the family, the village, the street where you live. That's interesting, isn't it? That we are a letter from God. Jesus, dwelling in you, desires to speak to the hearts of those who are not acquainted with him. Perhaps they do not read the Bible, or they do not hear the voice that speaks to them in its pages. They do not see the love of God through his works. But if you are a true representative of Jesus, it may be that through you they will be led to understand something of his goodness and be won to love and serve him. Wow. We can win others to God by just showing them his love. Isn't that amazing? Amen. You know, we have a number of examples in the Bible of people who did just this. They showed God's love to people. Job 19, verses 25 and 26 says, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God." Job said this while he was suffering terribly. How many of you here have ever had a boil? I have. They're awful things, aren't they? They're painful. Job had them all over his body. I cannot imagine how bad that must have been. It must have been awful. Yet, here he said, even though I'm going to die, even though my body's going to be rotted, even though I don't feel like going on living, yet I know that I'm going to see God again, and I know that he will raise me. What faith! What amazing faith. Abraham and Sarah, Hebrews 11, verses 8 through 13, says that they left their home and they trusted that God would fulfill his promises to them. Wow. The story of Abraham and Sarah is amazing. I think Abraham was like 70 or 80 years old when he left his home. And God said, come on, I'm going to take you, but I'm not going to tell you where you're going to go. You just need to follow me. And Abraham left, went to this strange land that he'd never even heard of before. And he still believed God. He didn't have any children, and God told him, you're going to be a great nation someday. And he's like, but I don't have any children. And God said, you're still going to trust me. And he did. Another example, Moses. Moses, Numbers 12, verses 7 and 8 says that, actually God in Numbers 12, verses 7 and 8 says that he and Moses spoke face to face, mouth to mouth, directly to each other. He didn't speak to Moses through dreams and visions. He spoke directly with him. Amazing. Amazing man. Deborah was a judge in a time when men ran everything. Deborah was a judge in Israel. And not only did she judge between people and tell people what God wanted them to do, she also led the armies into battle. What an amazing lady. David. Acts 13:22 says that David was a man after God's own heart. Then we think of Daniel and his friends. His friends braved the furnace. He braved the lion's den. These were all great witnesses for God. Martin Luther, another great witness for God. When he was asked to recant his writings and teachings, he replied, "Your Imperial Majesty and your Lordships demand a simple answer. Here it is, plain and unvarnished. Unless I am convicted or convinced of error by the testimony of the Scripture, or since I put no trust in the unsupported authority of popes or councils, since it is plain that they have often erred and often contradicted themselves, by manifest reasoning, I stand convicted by the Scriptures to which I have appealed, and my conscience is taken captive by God's word. Unless I am convicted by that, I cannot and will not recant anything. Amen. For to act against our conscience is neither safe for us nor open to us. Wow. They were threatening his life, and this was his response. Amazing. He said, and then he finished, on this I take my stand, I can do no other, God help me. What incredible faith. You know, these were all great people of faith, great men and women of faith. And there's many, many others in the Bible and many others in other parts of history that we could go on and on about today. But part of my notes disappeared. But what about us? Well, before we go on about us, we need to look at the greatest person in history. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews 12, verses 1 through 3. Hebrews 12, 1 through 3 says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. Jesus was the ultimate letter from God, wasn't he? But yet he calls us to be letters from God too. Jesus is the example that we need to follow. So what does your letter from God say to the world about him? Steps to Christ. Again, chapter 13 says, Christians are set as light bearers on the way to heaven. They are to reflect to the world the light shining upon them from Christ. Their life and character should be such that through them others will get a right conception of Christ and of his service. If we do represent Christ, we shall make his service appear attractive as it really is. Christians who gather up gloom and sadness to their souls and murmur and complain are giving to others a false representation of God and the Christian life. Oh my, that would be terrible, wouldn't it? They give the impression that God is not pleased to have his children happy, and in this they bear false witness against our Heavenly Father. Wow. Thank God for the bright pictures that he has presented to us. Let us group together the blessed assurances of his love, that we may look upon them continually. The Son of God, leaving his Father's throne, clothing his divinity with humanity, that he might rescue man from the power of Satan. His triumph in our behalf, opening heaven to men, revealing to human vision the presence chamber where the deity unveils his glory. The fallen race, uplifted from the pit of ruin into which sin had plunged it, and brought again into connection with the infinite God, and having endured the divine test through faith in our Redeemer, clothed in the righteousness of Christ, and exalted to his throne. These are the pictures which God would have us contemplate. Wow. These are the pictures that God wants us to present to the world. Okay. What if we've messed up, though? What if we haven't presented a good picture of God and been bad representatives of him? Is there any hope for us? I believe there is. You think about it. Abraham, who we mentioned earlier, Abraham, who had left his home and everything and did all these great things for God, he also lied to a couple of kings about who his wife was. That wasn't a good witness. He also took a Hagar as a second wife, which was against God's plan. That wasn't a good witness. Moses, who had spoken mouth to mouth with God, well, before that, he'd murdered an Egyptian. Wow, that's not a good witness, is it? He also, when God told him to speak to the rock, instead he struck the rock. And in so doing, damaged an object lesson that God had. You see, the first time they'd come to that rock, God had said, strike it. The rock represented Jesus. The second time, God said, speak to the rock. The rock represented Jesus. The first time it was struck, just like Jesus was struck for us. But Jesus does not need to be struck again for us. All we need to do now is ask him for the blessings that he will give us. He's already been struck for us. He does not need to be struck a second time. But Moses, in striking the rock, damaged that object lesson. David was an adulterer and a murderer. David's grandson Manasseh, he did great evil in the sight of God, all sorts of idolatry, but he repented and was restored. You know what? I take great hope from these lessons. These men of God, or these men who did some terrible things, repented and gave their lives to God, and he accepted them. And like David, he said, was a man after his own heart. Yeah, praise the Lord is right. We have hope. We have hope. It doesn't matter what we've done. God can and will forgive it if we will just come to him and give our lives to him. Okay, so we've been talking about all sorts of great people here. But what if we're just little people? People that just go about doing our daily work. What if we're just a housekeeper? What about that? You know, what if we're people that we don't do a great work for God? Well, let's turn to Matthew 25, verse 21. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 21. This is the parable of the talents. The master had gone away on a trip. Before he'd gone away, he'd given some talents or some money to several of his servants. And to the first one, who'd been given 5 talents, he came back and said, here, master, I've taken your 5 talents, I've invested it, and I've earned 5 more for you. And the master's response was, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. God says the same thing to us. He says, even if you're just faithful over a few things, I will make you ruler over many things. But we need to be faithful over the few things. Let's turn to Mark 12. Mark chapter 12 and verse 41. Mark 12:41 through 44. Now Jesus sat opposite the treasury and saw how many people, or how the people put money into the treasury, and many who were rich put in much. Then one poor widow came and threw in two mites, which make a quadrant. So he called his disciples to him and said to them, "Assuredly, I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all those who have given to the treasury. For they all put in out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty put in all that she had, her whole livelihood." Wow. How many of us wish we could give more offerings? Of course we do. This widow gave as much as she possibly could, actually more than she really could. It's interesting because here were all these rich people putting in huge amounts of money and everything. Jesus didn't call any attention to them, did he? He didn't say anything about them. It was the widow that just put in a little tiny amount. Hardly anything compared to the others. In human eyes, but in God's eyes, she put in a huge amount. You see, to God, the little things do matter. The kind word, the smile when someone is down, the gentle hand on the shoulder, the small task done extra well. Small task, like washing the dishes or doing the laundry. These are the things that are important to God. He wants every one of us to do them. Ephesians 6, verses 5 through 7 says that we should do all our work with sincerity of heart, as to the Lord and not to men. This means that we should do our best in everything we do. As we just read in Matthew 25:21, we need to be faithful in the small things. This is essential. This means that we're doing our duty to God as much when we're doing the laundry or washing the dishes or vacuuming the carpet as we are when we're leading out in an evangelistic series or giving a Bible study. We're still doing God's work. When we do a good job with these little things, it's a powerful witness to those who see us doing them well. We need to do everything that we can to do our work well, because we're doing it really for God. Let's turn to John 15, verses 14 and 15. John 15, verses 14 and 15. John 15, 14 and 15 says, "You are my friends if you do whatever I command you." He commands us to do the little things too, doesn't he? "No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you." When we do God's work, whether big or small, we are being God's friend. He doesn't call us servants, he calls us friends. Isn't that wonderful? He's not concerned with the results of our work so much as with the motives that we have in doing it. Goodness and faithfulness are more important to him than the magnitude of the accomplishments. But how do we do this? How can we do this faithfully? How can we make sure and follow and do God's will? Let's turn to Philippians 4, verse 13. Philippians 4, verse 13. Philippians 4, 13 says, "I can do all things through Christ." Do you find it hard sometimes to do the dishes? I do. I hate doing dishes. Just ask my wife. I'd rather do laundry than do dishes, honestly. Except for when it comes to the folding. I don't like the folding. But Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can even do the dishes with God's help. Romans 1:17 says that the just shall live by faith. We need to put our faith in God. That is the only way that we will ever do anything right, isn't it? Even the little things, we need to do those by faith. Let's turn to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter 3, verses 11 through 14. Second Peter 3, 11 through 14 says, therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent, be found by him in peace, without spot, and blameless. Amen. That's what God wants us to do. He wants us to do his will in everything that we do, because that's how we can be our best witness. There's a song I'd like to sing for you now that says that conveys the message that I've been trying to convey just now, probably better than I've done. So I want to sing it for you. It's called Find Us Faithful. We're pilgrims on the journey of the narrow road, and those who've gone before us line the way, cheering on the faithful, encouraging the weary, their lives a stirring testament to God's sustaining grace. Surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us run the race not only for the prize, but as those who've gone before us leave to those who... Let us leave to those behind us the heritage of faithfulness passed on through godly lives. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. May the fire of our devotion light their way. May the footprints that we leave lead them to believe, and the lives we live inspire them to obey. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. After all, our hopes and dreams have come and gone, and our children sift through all we've left behind. May the clues that they discover and the memories they uncover become the light that leads them to the road we each must find. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. May the fire of our devotion light their way. May the footprints that we leave lead them to believe, and the lives we live inspire them to obey. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. May the fire of our devotion light their way. May the footprints that we leave lead them to believe, and the lives we live inspire them to obey. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. This song reminds me of my mother-in-law, who just passed away a couple of months ago. When we think about her, when Bonnie and I and the others in the family think about her, we think about the great witness that she was to us and the great memories that she left for us. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 2 and 3, in the English Standard Version reads, "You yourselves are our letter of recommendation, written on our hearts to be known and read by all. And you show that you are a letter from Christ, delivered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts." So what is your letter from God saying to the world? Is it saying that he's tyrannical, harsh, inconsistent, hateful, and no fun to be around? Or is it saying that he is kind, gentle, unchanging, loving, and a joy to be around? Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for calling us to be witnesses for you. Thank you for calling us to be your letters to the world. Lord, please help us to put our faith in you, to ask you every day to come fill us with your Holy Spirit, so that our letters to the world about you will show the true you, the you that is loving and faithful and a joy to be around. In Jesus' name, amen.